Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the Burly Nathan Show. I am your host and MC, Burly Nathan. I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody who tuned in to our very first episode featuring Poppy Bubbles, aka Jessica. I was thrilled at the outreach. I was thrilled at the listenership. You guys absolutely rock. It's because of you that I continue doing this show and bringing on new guests every single week. And just wait until you hear who we have coming up. The best way to stay in touch with us and see what we have going on, well, with us and with me, is at Burly Nathan on Instagram and TikTok. All updates that I will give about upcoming shows will be there. You can follow my posts, stories, whatever, and see what amazing guests we have coming up. I'll also post show updates from my guests and myself, so if you are in our area or wherever any of my guests are, you can see what sort of shows that they are in and how you can get involved with them. As I said in the very first episode, this show is going to be about a lot of different things. Obviously, the arts is very near and dear to my heart, so we'll have a lot of conversations about performing and live music and comedy and theater, burlesque, all sorts of stuff. But we're also going to talk about the nitty-gritty of life and what makes all of us tick. I know I have a very unique life, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit today, just to fill you guys in on certain things happening in my life that you might be able to relate to. I also find it very important to speak with different people, learn about their lives, and it helps us grow as humans. It helps us become more progressive, and it helps us understand where people come from when they make their decisions in life and how they handle themselves. So we're going to talk to a lot of amazing people on this podcast, and I, once again, just cannot wait for you to hear who we have on the agenda. Now, on this episode, I'm super excited to announce that we have a partner with our show, AdamandEve.com. Now, are you ready for better sex in general? Like I said, on this show, we're going to talk about lifestyle and the way that people live. Listen, because I have an offer for you that I know you can't resist. Head over to AdamandEve.com right now, because they're running a whopping 50% off just about any item. But hang on, there's a promo code, and I'll get to that in a little bit. When you use the promo code, you'll get not one, not two, but 3 sexy bonus items in 6 free movies. And that's not all. Adam and Eve knows that privacy is key, so they're offering a discreet shipping option as a top priority. Now, get this. You'll also get free shipping on your first order. No matter how much you spend or what you buy, everything will be packaged and sent discreetly for free. So, what are you waiting for? Bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom. Simply go to AdamandEve.com, buy any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or whatever you might desire. And here's the cherry on top. This is where it's most important. Make sure to use promo code BURLY at checkout, and you'll get 50% off almost any item, the 10 free gifts, which is like 3 bonus items, 6 free movies, free shipping, all of that for you, if you use promo code BURLY, B-U-R-L-Y. Obviously, for the Burly Nathan Show, you use promo code B-U-R-L-Y at checkout. Once you do that, you are not only supporting yourself by saving money, but you're also supporting my show. We get a portion of the proceeds from all sales, so you're going to go there and buy something sexy for Valentine's Day or for a birthday or whatever. I know I have. I have amazing people in my life, and I like to buy for them, and Adam and Eve has just about everything. So once again, head over to AdamandEve.com, buy whatever you want, use promo code BURLY, you'll get 50% off, free shipping, free gifts, and you'll help support the Burly Nathan Show in the meantime. All right, so now that that's out of the way, I wanted to talk with you guys about something that's going on in my life that some of you may know about, some of you may not if you are close to me, but I decided at the end of last year that I was kind of fed up with my personal appearance and my weight and my health. My health has been okay. I don't really have any dire health issues at all, but I know a man of my size might, you know, have issues down the line. And so I decided with the help of Taryn that I would go on a weight loss journey like I've never done before. I decided during the holidays, which I honestly think is a foolish thing to do, to start watching what I eat and not eating as much sugar, getting rid of bread. God, that has been the hardest part, is not having carbs and bread and sugar. This is not an ad, by the way. I'm just telling you about my life. But I decided that I was going to take my weight loss journey seriously. Now, I'm going to be super transparent with you guys on this show, because why would I lie? Why would I fabricate anything? And so when I started my weight loss journey, I was at probably 325 pounds, which is a big number for me specifically. I'm not dogging anybody who's overweight. Everybody has their own journey here, but I'm talking about mine. When I was 325 pounds, I was feeling not super great. I was having issues waking up and being energized and being able to tie my shoes without fucking being out of breath. I don't know. But I was done with that. And I mean, obviously my persona, Burly Nathan, I mean, like I said in the last episode, you know, I'm not called Burly Nathan because I'm a stick of a man. I'm a large man. But I also know that I should get healthier. So I started, experimenting more with different types of food and working out. I work out at the gym 3 to 4 nights a week now, which is something I never thought I would commit to. But so far, I actually jumped on the scale right before recording this episode, and I'm at 288. So a lot of weight down, 325 to 288. So I just want to let everybody know, I'm not here to toot my own horn because, I mean, granted, I have a podcast with my own name on it, so that's enough tooting for all of us. But I just want to let everybody know, somebody like me, I have failed at this so many times. I really have. I've posted about it on Facebook at the beginning of a year saying, this is my year and I'm going to do it and I'm going to lose 100 pounds by my birthday and yada yada. And never really did it. I never really got the results I wanted because I was distracted with a million things and I could never really prioritize my health and my appearance. Now, I do suffer from, you know, body dysmorphia, as many do. And I finally thought, you know what, this is enough. I've had my fun. I've eaten pizza and I don't really eat sweets, so that doesn't matter, but carbs and sugar and all that was really my thing. So I cut out a lot of things and I'm seeing results pretty much immediately, to the point actually where I will be in a burlesque show in a couple of days wearing the least I've ever worn. So yeah, that's a lot. But anyway, my big thing here is if you failed, if you have, you know, aspirations to lose weight or change things about your life, it's okay. If you have failed, it is fine. I have done it. Probably enough for the both of us. Your friend Burly Nathan here is here to tell you that if you put your mind to it, you have a great support system, you can make it happen. If you don't have a support system and you're looking for a buddy, you can reach out to me anytime. I know I'm saying this into the ether, and who knows how many of you are actually listening, but if you need a friend, if you need somebody to talk to get through an addiction, or you need somebody to talk to get out of a habit or get into a habit like I have been with working out and eating better, I'm here for you. Burly Nathan is here. I hate that I'm talking in the third person about myself. But anyway, if you need any help, any assistance, whatnot, just somebody to talk to, find me on Instagram at Burly Nathan. Shoot me a message. I'd be happy to chat with you. If you're listening to my show and taking the time out to do that, I can take the time out to talk to you. I will never be too big for my britches to chat with people who might need the help. So it's very interesting to see how my body is changing and it's progressing. And I've had people tell me, wow, I can see a difference, which is cool. I don't ask anybody. They will tell me and I will appreciate that. I really do. But what I'm just trying to say, I know I've been rambling now, but I just wanted to at least put my journey out there and let everybody know that it's possible. Somebody like me who has, once again, failed a million times, you can do it too. No matter what you set your mind to, there's always a way to make it happen. At the same time, I'm actually starting up therapy on Friday too to address some issues that are part of my, you know, body dysmorphia issues and things in my past that have prevented me from becoming a better person as I got older. And I'm weeding out things that no longer serve me and only doing things that I really want to do. And this podcast actually is one of them. This podcast is actually something that I use to heal and get through things that have brought me down in my life. This year has been very tough for me and my family. Family issues, with, you know, grandparents getting older and losing, contact with different family members and our dog of 12 years passed away a few weeks ago. So there's been a lot of curveballs thrown in my life, but I will tell you this, never stop pushing, never stop trying. There have been many times in my journey so far of these last few months where I've felt like, I'm not doing this right. I'm not succeeding. I'm not seeing the results that I want, so maybe I should just quit. And I didn't, because I'm like, I owe it to myself and my family and my friends and my partners that I need to continue doing this. And so far, so good. So I think that's enough about me right now. And now we are going to move on to the section of the show where I bring on our special guest. I have been following our special guest for a very long time, and they have performed with me in my Night of Classic Burlesque shows. I've seen them perform out in the wild, and I became a fan of theirs a few years ago. After we realized that we were both theater nerds and we loved to talk about that sort of stuff, I chat with this person almost every single day, it seems. And we have so much in common. And when I announced this podcast, they were one of the first people to reach out and say hello and congratulations. And I'm like, you know what? You need to be on this show because I know the conversation that we are going to have will be a ton of fun. And it will be. Without further ado, I would love to introduce my special guest for episode 2, the lovely Mavis Mayfield. How's it going?
It's going good. Well, I am Mavis Mayfield. I am a burlesque variety performer. I do a little bit of fetish theater here in my hometown of Tallahassee, Florida, Tallanasty. I have the great honor of being a part of a troupe here called Carnal Cabaret. They were my first introduction to this type of performance, and it has been a wonderful, wonderful experience. We're about to hit our 5th year anniversary, which is crazy. But yeah, that's, you know, burlesque and performance art has always been a part of my life. I'm a huge theater nerd, like you said. I've been in, I think the last time I calculated, since the time that I was like 9, I think I finally hit my like 45th production a couple years ago, which was insane. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's been a really fun ride.
That's so cool, and I love speaking with people that have done this since they were kids. And so, what would you say was like a moment when you have been on stage that you've been like, "Wow, this is where I'm meant to be"? Like, when has that ever happened?
Oh gosh. Definitely in theater. It happened a lot later than you would probably think by the amount of shows I've done.
Sure.
But a couple years ago, I was in one of my favorite shows of all time, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, nice.
And I wasn't going to do the show initially. I was really busy. But a friend of mine was the music director, and he reached out to me and said that they needed people to play the brothers, that they were a little short on brothers. And after about 0.5 seconds of thinking, I was like, absolutely, I'll come through, let's go. And opening night, it was so thrilling to be able to put on my beard, put on my mustache, do my own little prosthetics and my drag makeup that I've been practicing for years. And I think it was in the song Canaan Days, where all the brothers come together to talk about the famine. I just looked around and I was like, and out into the sea of people, I was like, this is what I meant to. This is the perfect crossroads of my interest in drag and my interest in theater. And it just,
I love
it. It changed me.
That is so great. So which one of the brothers did you play?
I was Dan.
All right. Dan it is. I love it. Theater I work for did it a few years ago, and it's just such a fun show to see. And everybody loves it. Everybody loves Joseph. So that's awesome. What other shows have you done?
My favorites have definitely be I was Snoopy in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just absolutely hilarious and so much fun. I was able to be in one of the first productions of Cats in Florida.
Wow.
when people started being able to do that. So that was amazing. I did a couple of straight plays, which I wasn't super interested in as a kid, because as a kid, I was like, I just want to get to the singing and dancing. Like, I don't think I'm that great of an actor. Like, let me just do a little jig and sing some songs and have fun. But I got the opportunity to do The Miracle Worker, which is the story of Helen Keller. And I got to play Annie Sullivan, her teacher. And that was an amazing experience. And that was in high school. So that was pretty heavy to get into in high school.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's an iconic role in straight plays.
Yeah. And so that one was really, really fun. Except the girl who was playing Helen, she beat my ass. She was high energy the whole time. And we would leave rehearsals. I'd leave rehearsals with bruises, out of breath. But that was... those were probably definitely my most favorite roles. And obviously in Joseph, that was just so much fun.
That is great. You know, and It's interesting to see a lot of people that worked in theater that ended up moving into something like burlesque. And yeah. And I mean, because I did you ever think when you were doing theater that you would move into, and we'll talk more about different things you've done in burlesque because I've seen you do quite a bit. But did you ever think that, oh, this is where I'm my next step?
Absolutely not. I wish I could say I did, but no. I come from a very conservative Christian family. So something like burlesque, I'd never even seen the movie Burlesque, as controversial as that is in the community of how burlesque that is. But that wasn't even on my radar. So to be able to move into that space was completely new and fresh and blew my mind. I was like, this is the type of showmanship that I have been searching for.
That's great. Now, how long have you been doing burlesque now?
I moved into doing mostly burlesque about 3 years ago. Nice. I started performing in the Sphere like about 5 years ago when I joined Carnal Cabaret, but that was definitely more of like we do fetish theater with a little bit of burlesque, a little bit of drag. So it was more well-rounded, but I would say that about 3 years ago, I was like, I might want to just kind of focus on this part of it because I've had a lot of success. I've had a lot of fun. So about 3 years now.
That's great. And I think, I mean, we've been friends for a while now. And I think I remember around that time when you were transitioning into doing that more often. And I mean, that's when I'm like, all right, we've got to work together. We've got to start doing shows together. And I think our very first one that we did together was probably, what was it? July of last year? I can't remember which one it was. Like, we've done so many of these now. I can't remember which volume. I think it was volume 3. I usually have the posters up of our classic burlesque series in St. Pete. Yes. But when we did that show, you became one of the most popular people that we've ever had that we've gotten like requested to be back in the shows. And all of my people that are a part of our shows are very, I don't want to say snooty, but they're snobs. And when your name comes up, they're like, oh, we love Mavis. Oh, we love Mavis. And it's cool that we had that, which is why we are very excited to say that you'll be in one of our upcoming productions too, which I'm very, very thrilled about.
So excited.
We're excited to have you back. And you know, so when it comes to developing a burlesque persona, and I ask all, you know, when I actually used to have a burlesque podcast as well with my great friend Maven Isbehaven, who will probably be a guest here again very soon. But we always like to ask people, when it comes to developing your persona, where did Mavis come from? Like, what created your persona? Where did it derive?
I would definitely say, like I mentioned before, I come from a conservative Christian family. A lot of my life, I was stifled, you might be able to say. So Mavis definitely came from all the parts of myself that were hidden, that I was made to suppress. So the sultry, the outgoing, like kind of a taboo in some ways with some of my different acts, things like that, that for so long I didn't really feel in touch with. But once getting into burlesque, there's nowhere to hide. You are just right there, front and center. You might as well bare your soul and have fun and really, really, really put yourself out there. So it definitely came from trying to not just like better myself as a performer and like finding a niche, but also like bettering myself as a person and growing through the art.
Yeah, that's great. Now, when I'm interested more, I mean, I personally know about it, but I know some of our listeners may not. When you talk about fetish theater, when that's where it started, what is fetish theater and what would an audience member be in for if they went to go see a fetish theater show?
Oh, they would be in for so, so, so much. So fetish theater is basically taking all of your, you know, your fetishes, your dark desires, and putting them on display in a very theatrical manner. With Carnal Cabaret, we like to do some things that are a little bit more niche. We kind of like push the boundaries. We do a lot of themed shows. So we did a fairy tale show, was one of the last ones that we did. And that one kind of pushed a lot of boundaries. We did tight lacing for Snow White because that's a fetish. Like, there are so many little niche ones that you can kind of plug into our shows. And there was a Three Little Pigs act that was the Three Little Dick Pigs. And we bring out sex toys and, you know, we'll do bondage. We'll do flogging is very popular because it's very visual. And impact play is just fun to do. It's fun to watch. And is very, very popular with our little fetish scene down here. But it's a lot of colorful characters. It's a lot of like sexy, but in a lot of ways, very specific and very theatrical, which is what I love about it as a theater kid. I'm like, whoa, I can mix fetish with being kind of kooky and things like that. That's something that I also never would have thought to put together, but it's been a wild ride. We've done some crazy things.
I know. I haven't personally been up all the way to Tallahassee to see one yet. And I feel bad about that because I love you and I love Indy and I love everybody who's involved in those shows. And I had a friend of mine who is a performer with us as well accidentally stumble upon one of the last shows. I think it was the Fairy Tale show and was like, oh my God, because they were already a fan of Indies and then saw everybody else. And I was like, yep, that's the reaction that I usually hear when people go see that show. Like, oh my God, but in like the best way possible. And I love that. And what's interesting to me is like, people wouldn't necessarily think that Tallahassee is the place that they're going to see that kind of stuff. And I know you've performed all over the place. How would you say it's different in Tallahassee than it is maybe here in the Tampa area or beyond, wherever else you've performed?
I think, and it's not really a difference, but it's something that is really, really prevalent here, is because since there's not really a scene, like the scene in burlesque and fetish has, you know, been underground. And when I first started at performing with Carnal Cabaret and at the venue that we perform at, 926 Bar and Grill, our shows were pretty small, but they were mighty. And we found very quickly that because it's such a tight-knit community and there aren't terribly too many opportunities, the crowds, they come out and they're ready to have an amazing time. So a lot of people, when they come and do shows down here, they're shocked because you wouldn't think that we would have such a rowdy, boisterous, big crowd. Like even in that small venue, I've performed in front of 300 people because they will pack in there shoulder to shoulder just to see the things that they can't see in the city elsewhere. And thankfully now we have a couple different little groups that are starting to pop up, which is amazing for the scene because now everyone can kind of branch out. But it's been amazing to kind of see that grow. But I think that's the thing that kind of sets everyone apart is that everyone is just hungry for the entertainment.
So when you're performing for these large groups, that because you said you were able to fill like 300 people in this small venue, I'm sure as a performer that you've dealt with being in a large venue, a small venue, a huge crowd, a small crowd, like the feeling is the same, right? Or how do you feel when there's different audience sizes?
Oh, it doesn't bother me at all. I actually like performing for smaller audiences, particularly ones that I can interact with one-on-one, because that's not a thing that we get a lot in Tallahassee, because our stage, it's at a bar, it's at a music venue. So the stage is pretty high up, it's pretty far in the back. So you get to perform for all these people, but you don't really get to interact with them closely one-on-one until after the show. So I love performing for audiences that I can walk through, that I can interact with. And when we first started at this venue, when I first started performing there, I was doing a drag night. And that drag night was very small. There were times where we would only get 15, 20 people coming in the door, but that didn't change the way that we performed. And it has grown exponentially since then, but being able to really engage with people, kind of like dick around a little bit and make them feel included and make them feel special for showing up. And a lot of the times there's lots of banter with the MC and you can be a little bit more personable. You can be a little bit more free. You can have little call outs. And that those are the moments that I will remember over necessarily just like getting up on stage and performing for a large audience. As wonderful as that is, I mean, everyone loves the roarous applause of just the sheer amount of people in a room. But I really do love having those little moments between audience members.
I love that. That's good. And creating that sort of engagement and that direct response with them. And then you also see people that you'll see at every single one too. And
exactly.
I'm sure that you guys have seen repeat folks that are like, I've got to come back because I love these people. And that's what my friend was saying. They're like, if I lived in that area, I'd be there all the time. So I totally get that. Great. All right. So we're going to dig in a little bit more to your performance life in a little bit. But I ask all my guests these rapid fire questions. So are you ready to answer some very deep, very personal questions?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. What is your favorite color?
Black.
I honestly feel the same way. Like, it goes with everything. It is neutral enough. I love it.
Every time I do my laundry, it is hard to find which piece of clothing is which, because it's just a pile of it's a void.
It's a void of black clothing. I get it. I totally get it. My stuff is very much the same way. All right. If you could travel anywhere in the world tomorrow with no, like, you didn't have to think about money or anything, and you could go for as long as you wanted, where would it be and why?
Oh, Scotland.
And
I don't really know why. This is a really stupid answer, but I watch a lot of British television and every time they go to Scotland, it is just so beautiful. I think that the way that they talk is wonderful. I love the accent. The people seem so warm and inviting, and just like the grassy knolls. I would love to see like a cliff overlooking like a dreary countryside. It just sounds so refreshing.
I'm thinking about it right now. And all right, we're going to Scotland together. If this podcast blows up, if a bunch of people go on adamandeve.com and buy a bunch of shit with the Burly code, you and I are going to Scotland. Done.
Yeah, let's go.
I'll watch like those videos at night just to calm down, of like the just like aerial drone videos of different areas, and Scotland is one of them, and the British Isles. Like, I will watch that stuff. That's where I fall asleep. I feel so zen. Oh, so good. Okay, next question. What is your favorite animal and why?
I like red pandas.
Red pandas.
Because they have all the personality of the big giant pandas, but they're so stupid. They're so dumb, and they get scared super easily. And so they get startled and they fall over, and they've got the big bushy tails. It's like the mixture of a fox and a panda. And it's
what's not to love.
They're so cute.
That's amazing. Okay. The next question that I have is, what is your favorite genre of music?
I am partial to, I love a lot of Caribbean music. I love, I love me some calypso. I love some reggae.
Hell yeah.
But I would say my absolute favorite is probably like indie folk music. I'm a sad boy at heart, and I love some sad vibes with a whiny voice. I'm a sucker for it.
I did not think that you and I could get closer than we are. But that's also a hidden fact about me that not a lot of people know, is like indie folk is my shit. And all day, every day, like if I go on my, do you have Spotify or any of those sorts of apps?
I do. Yes.
So like, if you go on your day list, like mine, I know if I went to my day list, I wonder what it would say. Now, day list, if you guys are not Spotify people, is where it'll tell you like based on what you've listened to recently and like your listening patterns, it'll give you like what it thinks you should listen to at, we're recording this on a Wednesday night. And it says tonight is lo-fi beats, chill study evening folk music. Of course, that's exactly what it is. Because that is the stuff I listen to. Like during the day, I love Brandi Carlile, and I love a lot of her music and the stuff that, like, oh my God, I could go on all day. And I listen to that because it's just soothing. It's fun. It's whiny. It's delightful. And I love it. Wow.
And I've also found good that taste. In indie, particularly indie folk, there's so many queer artists that's their genre. It's like pop and indie is like where they kind of reside. And so I found a lot of really good trans artists through the indie folk genre, which is just awesome. Any way I can support the community, I will. So,
right. I love that. That is amazing. All right. So we're going to dig a little bit more into music and whatnot, because you and I are similar here. What is your favorite Broadway album?
I know
it's hard for us kind of people to pick favorites. If you had to pick your top three.
Okay. Well, I will say, I don't even really have to make this decision myself, because my Spotify Wrapped from this last year made this decision for me. Every single one of my top songs, top album, top anything came from Hadestown, the musical.
Mm-hmm.
My top song was Flowers, because if I ever need a good cry, I just know that our girl Eva is going to just come through with the tones and make me sob no matter how many times. Definitely that one. I am a sucker for Hamilton. I know that that's, you know, everyone loves Hamilton, or at least should. But I think as far as like classic musicals go, I love Fiddler on the Roof so much. It was my dad's favorite musical, and it was one of the reasons that we got into musicals in the first place. So I think To Life, the song in the bar, is one of my favorite numbers of all time. It's one of my favorite group numbers, because there are very few like bro group numbers in musicals where it's just like just us dudes having a good time. That's definitely one of my favorites.
It was funny. We were watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel last night, and because Taryn, my wife, has watched it now in her third time now, going through watching the show, and they had a scene at the Jewish wedding where they're doing the bottle dance, anytime you see that performed, and I've seen that performed live a bunch of times, it is always like you're at the edge of your seat. If you've never seen it before, it's where they're like on their knees and they're doing this amazing dance formation, and they've got a bottle on top of their heads, and the bottles are staying. Like, it is nerve-wracking, but it's one of my favorite moments of Fiddler. And that's a great show. That is Bach and Harnack. I love Bach and Harnack musicals.
Yes.
Great. So when it comes to, and I know obviously Hadestown, you and I have bonded over that for a long time, and you performed to a Hadestown number in one of the last shows we did together.
A dream.
Yes. When we were discussing that and putting that song together, I'm like, all right, we have to do, because we did Lady of the Underground, right?
Yes. I think?
Yes. We just did a variety show back in October with three of the girls who usually sing with us, and they did When the Chips Are Down, and that is a song that I've been trying, and they did the harmonies, and we actually had one of the performers play accordion at the same time.
Oh my God. Singing.
It was so good. We did it with the full live band. It was great. We may need to resurrect that in the next show that you're in. And we've talked about Hadestown a ton, and I actually got to see Patrick Page's second to last performance as Hades on Broadway. Goodness. What a crazy time that was. I just
incredible.
Absolutely
loved it.
All right, so digging a bit more into your performance life in fetish theater and in burlesque, I like to ask like the highs and the lows, because that's, I think, something that not a lot of people talk about, is the highs and lows and everything in between when it comes to being in this industry. And when it comes to like performances, is there a performance of yours that sticks out to you that was like your favorite, not necessarily, it didn't even have to necessarily be like a perfect performance, but one that you would consider a favorite of yours that you've done?
I would definitely have to say there's one performance, and that was with Carnal Cabaret. It was for our 1 year anniversary show. And for the first show that we ever did, it was between me and another performer. And we played like a husband and wife who were had this wonderful, beautiful life. But then it turns out that we each had a little something on the side. And so for the 1 year anniversary, we did a callback to that, where we've been going through a little bit of marriage therapy, and we're trying to get our lives back together, but in going through an exercise of having dinner together and really connecting, we find out that nothing has changed at all. And one of my favorite moments that has ever happened on stage comes from that show, because we set a table at the beginning and we get into a big argument because we find that there's sex toys mixed in with the table settings. Nice. And midway through the performance, I yank the tablecloth off the table and everything goes flying. And underneath the tablecloth, the table is actually a cage with someone inside it.
Ooh, nice.
And that moment, I watched that video recording back so many times because the audience reaction of like, that prop has been there the whole time. This is like 3 minutes into the show. And the fact that you pull it away and there's a full grown woman inside a dog crate was just incredible. And then the chemistry that we had on stage, there was some flogging involved, there was a crop involved, and just like that dynamic of having this trio was just amazing, and the audience loved it.
That sort of build-up reveal is, and not a lot of people really think about that too when they're building acts, is like, you need to leave that audience in suspense, and then if you can surprise them with shit like this, that's the sort of stuff that people remember. I've seen many acts where like something happened out of nowhere that I was not expecting, and it becomes a memorable moment that you're never gonna forget. And that's the art of theater, and truthfully the art of the tease when it comes to this sort of stuff.
Yes.
Now, on the other side, was there ever a performance that maybe you were hoping was going to go a certain way but didn't?
Oh my goodness. Yes, this haunts my dreams. It haunts my nightmares.
We'll relive it now.
It is the one I love watching back at shows and just watching the recordings, because I have a lot of anxiety in the moment when it comes to shows. So sometimes I like to wait a while and then go back and watch the video and really live in it. Mm-hmm. This is one show that I, to this day, have never watched back. And it was a duo that I did with Indy Sinclair. Very early in our Carnal Cabaret days, and we did a Marceline and a Princess Bubblegum number. And man, this is why you need to rehearse in the shoes that you're going to perform
oh,
in.
No.
Because I didn't fall, I didn't trip, but we did a lot of like, you know, Marceline is the rough and tough, and I was Princess Bubblegum. And Indy was just kind of like throwing me around, bending me backwards, and I almost fell like 3 separate times. I was so unsteady on my feet, and I can't watch it back. I can't, which I say that, but actually for our 5th anniversary, Indy is renting out a local theater for us to go and watch like our favorite shows back. And I really hope that's not one of them, because I will die of embarrassment.
Ooh, well, there you go. I mean, at that point, you're like, you know, it's been, you said it was early in that 5 years that you did that act?
Yeah, it was one of our first shows, which would have been in 2019.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I want to come to that 5-year anniversary if it's an open party, and I would love to see that, because that, I mean, and just to relive all of, and I'm sure you'll watch it and go, wow, look how we've grown over these 5 years.
Yes, we used to do, because it was a smaller audience, it was just a show of 3 acts. And also we started out with like 6 or 7 members, and now we have, I believe, 15. Wow. And we used to do 3 acts, short and simple. Now we've grown to be able to do 8 acts in a show, wow, full of duos and trios and solos and lots of little gags, running gags in between, because they all usually follow like a general storyline, mm-hmm, which is just amazing and so fun to watch. And if you come back to every single show, you're going to get something completely different, completely fresh. We have a rotating cast, and it's just, yeah, the way that it's grown over the years, none of us would have ever predicted doing our first little show where we stuffed a full-grown man inside a garbage can, that we would be where we are today. And it's just, it's been amazing to see.
That's great. And that's a testament to trusting the process and knowing,
absolutely,
that these things take time to build shows that sell out like crazy and have 300 people crammed in a room. It's not something that happens overnight. And I've worked with a lot of burlesque people and people in this business that get discouraged if their shows at the very beginning are not super well attended. And like we've said, we've you perform as if you have 1,000 people in there, no matter the size of the room. And, you know, I've back in the day, I've had, you know, 7 people show up to a show, or I've canceled because not enough people bought tickets. And yeah. And we're lucky enough now to where, you know, most of our shows sell out, but it did not start out that way. And I guess we could say, like, to people who are getting into this business, it's even as solo performers, you're not going to get every gig right away. I'm sure you see the same post that I do online when people say, oh, another show that I got a rejection for. Oh, another show I got a rejection for. But it happens. I mean, you just have to be you know, willing and ready to continue to practice, because you never know when you might get a call to work with that same group again. And I kind of want to talk to you about that too, because I'm sure, you know, as a performer, you and I both have experienced rejection. Was there ever like a moment when you've gotten maybe a rejection before where you thought, maybe this isn't for me, or what's your thought process when you do hear back and maybe just don't make it into a show that you wanted to be in?
For me personally, I never, I'm very fortunate of having the background of theater. So when I come, you know, put myself out there for in the burlesque scene and I don't hear back, or I get a no, sorry, not this time, I don't take it personally, because I went through all of that in middle school, in high school, when I would perform, when I would go to auditions for these shows and not get a call back. And I would spend my nights crying in my room because I wouldn't be able to be in West Side Story, or I wouldn't be able to be in these shows that I really wanted to do. But I think that those experiences really made it easier for me when I got into burlesque, because that rejection is just a not right now. Or even if it's a no, sorry, you're not a good fit, there are plenty of different producers, there are plenty of different venues that, like, there are different places for different people. And for some people, certain acts that people like me have, where I do some fetish, I do some cosplay, they're not gonna want you at every gig, which is fine. There are different people that want different things, and that's totally okay. So that type of rejection is just, it should push you forward instead of making you kind of doubt yourself, because different producers are looking for completely different things when it comes to their performers.
Oh, right, for sure. And like you said, if it's a not right now, it may be some other time down the line. Because you never know if they have a show theme that just doesn't fit the acts that you have available, or, you know, maybe you've done a show with them before and they just need to wait. Like, I think, you know, it's very easy to want to necessarily throw in the towel when you've gotten multiple rejections in a row. And in this business, it's tough, but, you know, sticking with it is the best way to go. And I've loved watching your career, and I know, and if you're cool talking about this, because I know you're getting back into it again, because, you know, yeah, you had a little something happen in your life.
Yes, I sure did. I had a baby.
You had a baby. And so, and that's kind of the next topic that I wanted to chat with you about, because we're getting close to the end. But I wanted to ask, because, you know, having a new child in and also working in this business, because I know you're dipping your toes back in and getting back into it. Like, how is that balance going for you so far?
It is definitely pretty challenging. It's hard to rhinestone a corset when you have a 3-month-old strapped to your chest, and you've gotten 2 hours of sleep, and he's just kicking and squirming everywhere and crying because he's hungry and things like that. But it has definitely changed me as a person fundamentally, and I'm trying to kind of move that into my performance space. It has made me such a more confident person. I'm a sweetheart at heart. I might come off like I have everything going on, but I'm a pretty sensitive person. But since having a child, like, I know that I can quite literally go through anything. And so that has kind of made me even more confident than I thought I was going to be going back into this space. Because I'm pretty anal about the things that I do. And I was like, oh, like, it's been, you know, almost a year since I've last performed. Like, what if nobody wants me? What if, you know, things like that? That's where kind of like the self-doubt came in. But being able to really take that confidence that I found personally and inject that into Mavis has been wonderful. And the first show that I did back was, it was on New Year's Eve, and it was it squashed any hesitation that I had. The crowd was incredible. They welcomed me back incredibly boisterously. And it's also like, I want to be able to share like performance art with my son. I think that that would be incredible later in his life, whether it's theater or if he decides that he wants to dance or whatever. I love the fact that I am able to have these little things in my life that I can introduce him to when he gets older. And I also have an incredible, I have some incredible role models in the burlesque community. There are so many burlesque moms out there that I have been watching for years. Some of them are new burlesque moms. Some of them have, you know, toddlers now, but it's seeing them be able to balance the, yes, I'm a hardworking mom, but also like I'm able to live out my dreams was the thing that when I first got pregnant allowed me to push through, because everyone has that moment of like, oh my God, my life is going to change so much. And like, I'm not going to be able to do the things that I want to do. But being able to see them at the forefront of the experience was really helpful to me. And being able to say, yes, I had all of these goals that I wanted to accomplish in my professional life, in my personal life, shows that I wanted to do. I had all these shows lined up that I had to cancel. But being able to say, yes, I have these goals, and there's just something that's going to, it's going to take a little bit longer now. But it doesn't necessarily mean that any of those goals have to be squashed or you have to give up on them. Like you, I can accomplish every single thing that I wanted to do in my life. And now it's even more important that I accomplish those goals because I have this little adorable set of big old eyes watching me the whole time. So it is pushing me to be even more successful, even more confident, even more dedicated to what I do, because I have to set a good example for him. I don't have a choice.
I love that. I love that. And that, you know, that's actually a question that I asked our guest on the last episode, because she kind of comes from a, conservative-ish sort of background as well, and especially living in Florida and whatnot. My question is, like, obviously, as he grows up, if having to have the conversation, if you're, which I hope you are, still doing this forever, because I love watching you perform, but, like, if you had to answer questions, I guess, with him or parents and kids or whatever, people that notice that you do this, I what's your immediate thought? Like, how would you explain it? Or are you going to come straight out? Or is it something that you maybe wouldn't want to talk about? Like, I know you're very upfront with what you do. I don't think that'll ever change.
Right? Yeah, no, definitely not. And coming from a family where communication was not a strong suit between like parents and children, just because of the way that those, you know, family dynamics usually work. I think that personally with me and my art, it's, I probably won't explain everything right away. But there are bits and pieces that you can introduce that are age appropriate for your child. So it's like, this is a course, like I'm working on my corsets, like these beautiful costumes, and I'm playing these songs and I'm dancing and whatever is like the first introduction to your kid of this is like an extension of theater, because I'm sure I will introduce him to theater first and foremost.
I bet.
So that won't be a foreign concept. And then later down the line is when you're like, okay, well, these are the things that mommy does. And it's okay, because I don't want to ever approach or keep information from him that's like based on shame. Because that I want him to grow up to be confident and not afraid of doing the things that he loves and ashamed of his body or anything that he's got going on. So those little pieces, those little extra pieces of like, yeah, sometimes mommy takes off their clothes in front of, 100 people. And it's fine because there's nothing to be ashamed of. But those types of conversations will definitely come much later. Don't believe in, keeping anything from him on that front, because I love what I do and I'm proud of what I do. And no one should be ashamed, particularly with their children, of living out the dream.
I am all for that, and not over coddling kids to where you have to like lie about the things that you do. And I've seen many people that have had to do that, unfortunately, and a lot of it's due to their upbringing and traditionalist values and that sort of thing. And I mean, people who have alternative lifestyles and do different things. I mean, I'm glad like somebody like you has becoming a parent, because you will help create a new generation of more tolerant people, which is what we need in this world. That's and, so you know, cool. And as much as I would love to do that, I mean, we're not going to have any kids, because we just made that decision a while back, because, you know, this world's kind of crazy. But, you know, the people who have open-minded views and are progressive, but also still respectful, because I think sometimes people mix being progressive with just being like, I want to show kids tits. It's like, no, we're not saying that. We're saying that when they get to be an appropriate age, like you said, you'll have these like tiered conversations as they get older, where you can explain things in an intelligent way and what they can handle at the time. And I love that you're going to do that. And that gives me hope for the future, because these days there's not a whole lot of hope for that. But I know with folks like you, there will be a brighter future ahead for generations. So I love that. And I also love that you're not ashamed and you will always stick to your guns and not change just because society pressures you to do that in a certain way. So
absolutely.
I love that. I love that. All right. So for our folks who want to follow you and become a fan of Mavis like I am, how could they do so?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram. My handle is Mavis Mayfield XOXO on that. And I believe I am also using that handle on TikTok as well. But those are the platforms that I usually check a lot. I'm a TikTok fiend. So even if I don't post a lot, I am definitely active. I will definitely see what you got going on there. But those are the two that I will definitely use the most. And you can find me on those.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here and being the second guest on my show. And speaking of shows, do you have any on the agenda coming up that you'd like to talk about?
Yes, I am actually going, we're going getting pedal to the metal. And I've got a couple coming up on February 17th. We have a Cryptease Productions is doing a Sinner's Ball at 926 in Tallahassee. And then I also have on March 1st in Tallahassee, there is a burlesque show going on at Fire Betty's, the arcade bar that we have here in town, which is also with Cryptease Productions. And that's going to be a lot of fun. We have some incredible guests coming from your area that are coming down to Tallahassee to, you know, show Tallahassee what's good. And I believe at the end of March is the big FreeCon show, which is Tallahassee's version of Comic-Con. Nice. They do it every year. And so we will be having a cosplay show also at 926 with our wonderful producer. And Indy Sinclair is hosting all of these shows in Tallahassee. So follow if you want to, you know, follow what we're doing here. Cryptease Productions and Carnal Cabaret both have Facebook pages and Instagrams where you can always see what's going on, who's going to be there. We have lots of guests from other cities that are gracious enough to come and bless us with their presence. So definitely follow along. We've got some great stuff coming up this next year.
That's great. Indy was filling me in on some people that have been cast in some of these upcoming shows. And I'm like, yes, these are amazing lineups and I'm jealous. And I'm very excited to say that you'll be coming back to do our Night of Classic Burlesque in September. We haven't really announced much of this cast yet, but hey, we're going to do this now. You'll be in our Friday, our very first Friday the 13th show that we've ever done.
I'm so excited and so scared.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Our live band show at the Palladium, Night of Classic Burlesque Volume 7, Mavis Mayfield will be performing again. And you are a part of our Multi-Timers Club, which we don't have many people in that group yet. Kind of like in Saturday Night Live, the Five-Timers Club. So, you know, we got a lot of demand to have you back. And when we were doing our casting, we're like, of course, Mavis is going to come back. So make sure to get your tickets for that when those go on sale, which will probably be in the next few months. But always a joy to chat with you. And anytime you have anything going on, obviously just let me know and I will be sure to promote it. Once again, follow Mavis Mayfield XOXO on all the platforms, anywhere that you can find Mavis, Instagram, TikTok, all the awesome spots. Thank you for being here, my love. And I cannot wait to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. It's been a great time.
Yay! All right, that was Mavis Mayfield. Make sure to follow Mavis on Instagram, TikTok, anywhere else, and see what they're up to. They do such amazing work, and I'm honored that they were here on the second episode. We have now reached the end of our show. I appreciate you guys sticking around and listening to our interviews. Make sure to stop on over to adamandeve.com and get your last-minute Valentine's Day gifts. Remember, if you use promo code BURLY, that's B-U-R-L-Y, at checkout, you'll get 50% off most items. You'll get 10 free gifts, free shipping. It'll be discreetly sent to your door. Get your last-minute Valentine's Day gifts in. I know I did. Before this episode tonight, I went a little nuts. They have so much stuff there. I don't want to get too graphic, but I was able to find some things there that made me go, okay, this will be a fun gift that I hope nobody accidentally opens in my family. But make sure to just give it a shot. Go see what they got. Use promo code BURLY, B-U-R-L-Y, at checkout. Another great way for you to support the show is by subscribing anywhere that you happen to be listening. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever, make sure to follow us. Make sure to subscribe so you are updated anytime a new show is dropped. You can also follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Burly Nathan. If you're interested in being on the show or sponsoring it, just hit me up on those platforms and I would love to chat with you. See you soon on episode 3. This is Burly Nathan signing out. Okay, so this is actually bonus content now. I realized on the first episode that I made a post on Instagram that I would call out some folks who wished me well when I announced the show before the first podcast airing, and I realized that I completely forgot to do that. I was so excited about getting the show out that I forgot to do this. So I just wanted to make some shout-outs here to my great friends K2 Lemieux, Kit Witchcock, The Debbie Diablo, Flamey Cinders, Boo Dior, Poppy Bubbles. I just want to say once again, thank you for being amazing and helping support my show.